Most couples get married dreaming of living happily ever after. But does anyone actually live happily ever after?
We'll discuss questions from viewers today on Real Family Talk. Join us. It's time for Real Family Talk, your questions answered. During this episode, we're answering questions from viewers like you. Here's our first question. I got married 2 years ago. Before marriage, we were so in love with each other. I just knew we were going to live happily for a lifetime. Now I'm beginning to feel that we have very few things to talk about. We don't communicate well and disagree on practically most decisions. I'm beginning to think that I've made a terrible mistake. I had no idea marriage was going to be so hard. I'm beginning to lose hope. What advice do you have for me?
Wow. You know, someone once said, getting married is easy. Staying married is more difficult. Staying happily married for a lifetime would be considered among the fine arts. Yes, indeed, marriage is hard. But it is possible to have a happy and satisfying marriage, and yes, there is hope for your marriage and any marriage that is willing to allow God to transform their marriage by transforming them. But the reality is, it is challenging.
Absolutely. It's really difficult. And I think many people don't anticipate this before going into marriage. And hence why we spend so much time talking about pre-engagement counseling, and not that it's going to keep you from problems, but definitely prepare you for anticipating that there will be problems so that you won't be frightened by what's happening. So we want to encourage you, our viewer, to begin praying now and every day for your spouse and for your marriage. Pray that God will work a miracle in your own heart and allow you to see your husband through the eyes of Jesus.
That's exactly right. You want to see that husband and that wife through the eyes of Jesus. When it comes to marriage, there are often two extremes, and both are problematic. Number one, people are usually too negative or too idealistic. We like to say that premarital couples are usually idealistic, and married couples are usually pessimistic or negative. Number two, some have given up hope of getting married, while others run blindly into marriage, thinking that because they love each other so much, what has happened to others won't happen to them. What they fail to realize, however, is that this love that they're talking about, this feeling, is not going to get them through, because it's much more than that. The love that we're talking about and that we really need to have a successful marriage is a love that comes from the principle of love, that love which is unconditional and comes from God.
Absolutely. Marriage is wonderful, and yet it is important to go in with your eyes wide open, realizing that every marriage will experience bumpy times. Every marriage goes through seasons or stages. Isn't that true?
That is correct. Stages. So we're going to share some stages of marriage that couples usually go through, and most of them are not aware of the fact that they're going to go through these stages when they first get married. Stage number one, passion prevails. At this stage, couples concentrate on what they have in common and their intense physical desire for each other. They simply can't get enough of each other, and so they think it's always going to be this way.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, this is the early stages of marriage. People, they fall in love. You know, they find someone attractive, they fall in love, and all they want to do is to be close and to spend time with that individual. And the relationship is really a physical relationship. It's all based on attraction. It's all based on just wanting to be close, just wanting to be held. And who doesn't want to be held or to be close? Well, there are a few people who don't, but most people think, wow, we have these feelings for each other. So that's all we need. But we need a lot more than just feelings.
And usually that stage number one lasts until right after the honeymoon.
Right after the honeymoon.
And sometimes it may even extend into the beginning of the second year of marriage. But then we get into stage number two. And sometimes this stage comes right after the honeymoon. And it's called, what was I thinking? After the honeymoon phase of euphoria comes the realities and the mundane necessities of life. There's morning breath.
Everybody has nice, beautiful breath.
Right, everyone just wakes up.
If you're in love, you
perfect,
do.
Perfect, right? Like yes. They do in the movies. And they spend too much time in the bathroom. Cleaning habits differ. You know, people have different partner styles and habits. You know, some people like the bed made. Some people don't. Some people prefer to make the bed a little later in the day. Some people want to make it early in the day.
Or not make it at all.
Or not make it at all. Right. And so these interactions, these daily habits really begin to irritate people. And that's where this stage comes in, where people are thinking, what was I thinking?
What was I thinking? Because they thought it was all going to be beautiful. And all of a sudden, they hit against the wall of reality in marriage that it's not perfect. Stage number three. Everything would be great if you would only change. The next several years are taken up with couples trying to change their spouse. When that doesn't work, some choose divorce or affairs. Some resign themselves to an unhappy marriage. Some look for better ways to communicate or manage conflict. But it's always thinking that if their mate could only change, their marriage would be all they want it to be.
If only you would change.
If only you would only change.
Stage number four, that's just the way he is, the way she is. This is the stage at which couples accept the fact that they will never be on the same page about everything. So they seek ways to live in peace amidst the differences.
And of course, then there's stage number five, and we call this stage Together at Last. Having spent quite a bit of time together, making history and overcoming trials, having children together and perhaps building homes together or moving together, couples at this stage feel a sense of accomplishment. They've come full circle and have learned the dance of marriage. So, together at last. But this together at last is a stage where couples really are dealing with the reality of marriage. Perhaps they've gone to some marriage conferences. Perhaps they've even gone to marriage counseling, and they now understand that they cannot change their spouse. So acceptance takes place, and it's a much better stage for the marriage to be.
And there's also a great appreciation for what your mate brings to the relationship.
Absolutely.
And you recognize that it's not about changing the other person,
that's
but
right.
How do we build on our strengths together as a couple and really appreciate the fact that God has given us to each other? And that's certainly a journey for people to take. We'll be right back after a short break. Stay with us.
On today's edition of Real Family Talk, we're answering viewers' questions. We will continue our answer to our viewer who is wondering if her marriage will survive.
Right. And so we just want to review a little bit that this woman has been married, I believe, for 2 years, she said. And she was very concerned about whether or not they were going to make it. And mostly what I got from what she was saying, I didn't hear that there was any abuse or infidelity. It was really more a matter of them not getting along, not communicating well, disagreeing on many things. And that is to be expected. Because you're two different human beings that came from different homes that have different ideas and different perspectives. And even if you had some things in common, you still are going to disagree on some things in marriage. And so the issue now is learning how to negotiate these differences. And so we want to encourage this viewer and anyone else who's struggling in their marriage and questioning whether or not their marriage is worth saving. We do want to say that your marriage is worth saving if you're not in a situation where you are being physically hurt.
Or emotionally hurt,
right? Absolutely. So we're talking about different forms of abuse, correct? Yes. So we want to share some tips for success in marriage. So the first thing we want to say is that love is a decision. When your ecstatic feelings begin to fade, as happened with this viewer in this question, it doesn't mean your marriage is dying. Love is not a feeling. 1 Corinthians 13, we find out what love is. And if you go back and read the text for yourself, you'll read the entire text, but we'll just share a little bit. Love is patient. Love is kind. And then it ends with love endures all things. So again, we're not saying that you're enduring any kind of abuse, but enduring meaning that you have to put up with some habits of your partner that are different than yours.
Didn't you do that when you were growing up with your siblings? Even individuals who are from the same family have different opinions, different ideas, different likes and dislikes from the same two parents growing up in the same home. So why would you think that you're going to marry someone who wants
all of
everything?
A sudden you're going to have everything
that's correct.
In common, right?
That doesn't happen.
Right.
That doesn't happen.
So love is a decision to continue loving even when the feelings are not there. And here's the thing. Loving behavior engenders loving feelings. So if I act loving towards you, and if I try to maintain these positive feelings towards my spouse, I'm actually going to begin to start feeling love again. But love is a decision, not a feeling.
Yes, I would also like to add to that, Elaine, that if you do loving things, you're going to have loving feelings. And if people could just go back to what they did before they got married, the things that brought good feelings to them, you know, the things of having fun together, eating out or playing a game or, you know.
All the fun things that you did to engender those
good
feelings.
Yeah. So if you do that after marriage, it's not like it's not going, in fact, generate those good feelings. So keep doing those nice things. Point number two, stay connected by spending time every day talking to each other as friends. Ask each other open-ended questions such as, what is your favorite food? Where would be your ideal place to take a vacation? What is your favorite way to spend a Sunday afternoon? Stay away from questions that have yes or no answers. Doing this allows you to tap into the current world of your spouse. We call those love maps. That's what Dr. John Gottman and Dr. Julie Gottman call them, love maps. And it's basically getting to know your mate or things about your mate. The more you know about them, the more in sync you will be with each other because you will have a greater understanding of what it is they want to do and where it is they want to go and what brings them joy.
Yeah. And what's important about these love maps is that it really helps you to not take your mate for granted. Don't assume that you know everything about your mate because now you're married. In fact, there's so much more to learn about your mate. And so just constantly tapping in. Like one of the things we often joke about is you will often say to me, is purple still your favorite color?
That's
you
right.
know? And I love it when you ask that. Of course, this is what we do, right? We teach people how to have a good marriage. So hopefully we'll have a good marriage yeah. ourselves.
Do you still like Italian food?
Right.
Do you still love eggplant?
And what's funny, no, well, I don't like eggplant.
That's a trick question because you've never loved eggplant.
Right, right. But you know what? You've gotten me to like eggplant.
That's right.
You know, I mean, you order it every single time we go out to eat Italian food. So I've even started to like it because now, we've been married for a long time. I like what you like.
Oh, how nice.
Sometimes. Number three, expect conflict. Be mindful that every marriage will experience conflict and challenges. Should I say that again? Expect that every marriage will experience conflict and challenges. You can learn how to resolve conflict in a way that enhances your marriage rather than tearing it down or tearing each other down. This is what couples really need to learn, that just because there's conflict doesn't mean that it's the end of their marriage.
It isn't. In fact, someone once said that conflict is the manure of marriage. It doesn't smell very good, but without it, there's no real growth. If you're an agricultural person, you'll get that joke. Anyway, number four, don't take your relationship for granted. Nurture your relationship every day. Turn towards your spouse, even when you feel like turning away. Pay attention to small bids for attention. When your spouse says something like, "Look over here, honey," turn a look in her direction or in his direction. Convey to your spouse that they are important to you. You see them, you hear them, you love them. So look.
Right. Look over here, honey. That means, you know, stop looking at your phone, stop looking at other things,
That's
at the
right.
newspaper while your spouse is speaking. Number five, think positively about your relationship. If you believe there's no hope for your marriage, it will not survive. But if you believe that God can save your marriage, you have a greater chance of saving your marriage because with God, all things are possible.
And by the way, you know, there's always hope. As long as there's life, there's hope. If we think positively about our relationship, it'll be more positive. If we think negatively about our relationship, it will remain negative as well. So we have a lot to do with how our relationship goes, what we choose to think, and how we choose to think, and how we choose to speak to each other, and how we choose to feel about each other will make a big difference in how our marriage goes. We'll be right back after a short break. Stay with us.
Today we've been responding to a question from a viewer whose marriage has lost its excitement and is wondering if her marriage is over.
To be sure, all marriages are headed to this disillusionment and distress and growing apart if couples are not intentional about growing together every day through the power of God. The tips we've shared on how to have a successful marriage can be implemented by any couple starting today. The more committed you are to integrating these behaviors in your marriage each day, the quicker you'll experience the growth that you are hoping for, because this is how it is with every marriage. No perfect marriage because there are no perfect people. So accept that from the very beginning.
We do want to say, however, that all we've shared is possible in relatively healthy marriages where there is no violence or abuse. It's not that marriages that experience abuse can't be saved. They just need a lot more intervention than what we've shared with you today. So if you know someone or if you yourself is experiencing any kind of domestic violence in your home, please call your local abuse hotline today to get help.
Sometimes people have a difficult time bringing up issues that need to be addressed in their marriage. Here are some tips for talking about issues in your marriage that are difficult to deal with. Let's take number one. Be intentional about having fun together. You know, it's the reason why you got married, because you were having so much fun. You thought, oh, we want to have fun every day of our lives. Be intentional about having more fun with your spouse than what you're having right now. It's the reason you're not feeling so good about your marriage, because the fun has left the room. Make a list of things you would enjoy doing and schedule time to do them together. Plan a weekly date night, and if you stay at home to play a game or take a walk or watch a favorite movie, protect this time from solving problems. It's a time to just have fun. When you have fun together, you create a positive environment that increases your willingness to bring up concerns and solve problems. Because when you're having fun, you're feeling connected to each other. And when you feel connected to each other, there is more security in the relationship. And when there's that security, you are able to speak more freely about things that really matter to make your marriage all God wants it to be.
Now, I will say that sometimes when we ask couples to do this, you know, especially when they're struggling, they think it's the strangest advice that we could give. But it really is important that you take this time out. But another thing that happens is that couples are also reluctant to bring up difficult things once they're having fun. And you know why we say to have fun? Because sometimes you will find that the thing that you thought was an issue probably wasn't that important. So it's really critical for you to determine whether or not it's just a perpetual
problem,
gridlock problem.
Yeah. Yes.
Or
if it's a solvable problem.
Or if it's really a solvable problem.
Because some of them are not really problems that can be solved.
That's correct.
Like you can't change the birthday of your spouse. You can't change your spouse's parents or your siblings. That's who they are.
Right.
You know, accept it. Deal with it.
And even though little habits too, yes, might be different. So, you know, we often joke about the fact that, I know I brought up the thing about the bed earlier, but I'm going to put it out there right now, that my husband loves to make the bed as soon as he gets out of bed in the morning. And I have...
Because you feel accomplished immediately. You don't have to do anything else. You get out of bed, you make the bed, you feel accomplished.
I like that. So I'm getting used to that, because I don't really need to make the bed as soon as I get out of bed. I like to make the bed too. But I prefer to kind of like, maybe I want to get back into it at some point. You know what I mean? But learning how to negotiate that, that's not really a problem.
It's not really a problem.
And so people make those things problems, and then they're fighting about it, yeah, when it really isn't.
There's something else I'd like to add, and that is, you know, it's like living in your circle of control.
Yeah.
Just because you want the bed to be made up at a certain time doesn't mean your mate wants to. And it's the two of you that live in this space. So negotiate the space and play nice, you know? That's the first thing you learn in kindergarten.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Play nice. Yeah. And when we get married, we need to continue to play nice.
But all of a sudden, we want to impose our habits.
And it's all about me.
It's all about me.
All about what I want. And that's selfish. And that's not God's way. So this marriage can be solved if you decide that you're not the only person in it.
Absolutely. All right. So now, once we decide that we're going to discuss our issues, we want to schedule a meeting. Set aside time to have a meeting each week to address things in your marriage that you are pleased about and things that you have concerns about. So you're kind of sandwiching it with some positive things. This is not date night. Rather, it's a time you have set aside to talk about important issues in your relationship.
And then the next point is, don't accuse your spouse. Don't begin by accusing your spouse of never doing something or always getting it wrong. Remove all criticism and contempt and all these absolutes that you never do it right or you always do it wrong. We need to stay away from that kind of language if we want a better marriage.
Absolutely. And finally, use I messages. Take turns expressing your thoughts and use I messages, such as, I feel taken for granted when you stay at work late and you don't call me to let me know you will be home late. Then offer a wish. I wish you would call me and let me know earlier in the day. That would make me feel like I was important to you.
Of course, remember that marriage is a gift from God that is worth fighting for each and every day. We encourage you with the words of Scripture that say, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
Thank you for watching Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll share more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. See you next time.